Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, 17 years I've sat under the ministry of Pastor Gene Harmon. I don't think I've ever seen him do that. Forgot his Bible. Well, I didn't forget it. I just forgot where I left it, that's all. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I would bring before you this morning a message most different than that of the religious world that we live in today. A message that has been spoken of before by many throughout the ages, but in few places and in rare times. This message must be spoken of with humility, just as it must be received with a sense of humbleness of one's heart. Are you with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7? I'd like to begin reading at verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. The prophet speaks here of a house. Solomon, the son of David, after David had gone on to be with the Lord, Solomon was made king. And the Lord came to Solomon and he gave him instructions to build a temple, a magnificent temple. Up until that time, the temple had been more or less a tent and had been transported here and there wherever it went. And they had the Shekinah glory in there. The mercy seat was put in there. Inside the mercy seat was also the Ark of God, which kept the bud of Aaron and so on, the Ten Commandments and so on. It was a religious building, but it was a temple where God's people could come to God and commune with God. Solomon had been instructed to build a temple of stone. And God had given Solomon very specific instructions, just as he did with the temple of the tent, on how to build this building and how it should look. In chapter 6, and then the temple was dedicated. In chapter 6, the temple was dedicated with sacrifices and prayer. The Lord Almighty was to abide in this temple, and this temple was to be a place of worship and prayer. Well, the word here, sanctified, means to be set apart, to be made holy. And I would like to consider this morning the meaning set apart. Notice first, it was a house chosen of God. And now, in verse 16, have I chosen. This was a house that was chosen of God. It was not a house that people chose to build for God, but a house that God had chosen a people to build for Him. This was Israel, God's people. It wasn't just anybody off the street that the Lord had brought in to build this temple. It was God's people. And throughout the Old Testament, our great Savior has spoken through the prophets in parables, pictures, types, and this is no different. This is exactly that. Our Lord is drawing a picture for you and I to learn from here. This house is spoken of as a dwelling place, a place His name will be praised forever. and my name may be there forever, it says in verse 16. He will be watching with great concern over this house. He will have great care for it, as it were, with his heart. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. This house will be looked after and cared for by him. His eyes and his heart will be there. That word perpetually simply means a way that never ends. Does that not sound like a verse we know in the New Testament? I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Our Lord says, this house I will look after with my heart. The heart of God. What could go wrong if God is looking after it? Well, we might think there's a lot of things that can go wrong if God is looking after me. Look at all the stuff that's going through my life. Yet we don't see the whole picture, do we? Our Lord does. He promises each and every one of his people, all things are for our good. Even the waves that were pounding on the sheet, on the ship, when the Lord and the apostles were crossing the sea, were brought for the good of God's people, those who love the Lord, those who are called. Even for the moment, the apostles and didn't see that. No, they were fearing, weren't they? They ran to the Lord. They ran down to where he slept and said, Lord, do you not care for us? Here he says, my heart is with this house forever. This temple had been set apart from all other temples and all other buildings of the world to be a dwelling place where the people of God could commune with God. And that's what it is to pray. That's what it is to pray, to be in communication with the Most High. Now turn over to the 17th chapter of John, if you would. When one speaks of a church, most will picture a building such as this that we're meeting in here this morning. And as we have seen, at least in pictures, or maybe even in person, man loves to build fancy churches, don't they? Have you ever seen the Crystal Cathedral? One time I was in Utah making deliveries. They had asked for volunteers to go help. I had the opportunity to make a delivery to the Mormon Tabernacle there. Oh my goodness. Those people know how to keep a place clean. I went into the front office, because you got to go in the front office and check in before somebody will go around to the warehouse and meet you back there. And while I'm sitting there waiting for the receiving guy to come from wherever he's coming to take me around to the warehouse, I'm watching and there's people in white overalls and white gloves. And they are clean. They're all over. I mean, you sit down, and all of a sudden you notice there's somebody moving over there behind the plants and they're cleaning windows. And I look over there and there's somebody over there. And before you know it, I'm looking around. There are people in white all over the place. And there's gold everywhere. Their steeple on top of their thing is solid gold. You don't believe me? Take a look down here in Rancho. If you're down here by Aerojet, they have a temple down there. If you look above the hill, right above the car lots there, you'll see a gold thing on top. And it's gold. I know I've been to that church also. I've delivered some paintings to them. Men love to make fancy churches. Fancy buildings. Have you been to our church? We have a band. We have this, we have that. This temple that God commanded to be built was set apart from all other temples, all other buildings. According to the scripture definition, a church is actually a body of people. Us. Not the building, not the property. You and I are the church. Or more accurately, a congregation a gathering of people called out who are coming together for the purpose of worshiping and praying. Our Lord says back there in verse 16, my heart will be with that church, with that temple, with that building. That's what that was. It was a congregation of men and women from Israel that God had called out of darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who were at one time dead in trespasses and sin, walking in the lust thereof, called into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this place where he had given them to worship and pray and commune with him. A gathering of people called out who are coming together for the purpose of worship and pray. A people called out for what? Called out of what? What were they called out of? Absolutely. Called out of the world. Separated from the way the world worships. Well, now wait a minute, John. We're here on Sunday. That's what they're doing. They're doing the same thing right down the street here. They're showing up on Sunday to do worship, aren't they? We worship like no other worship there is, folks. The world is not my home. I'm just passing through. God's people are set apart from the world. They're taken out of the world. That means that they once walked as the world walks, talked like the world talks, and even looked like the world looked. But now, in Ephesians 2, 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You see why I'm saying we need to talk, and I need to preach this with humbleness, but you need to hear it with humbleness. That church down the street, I'm not pointing my finger at them like there's something lower than me, because I was just like that one day. Brother Mike was sharing this morning about how many people are responding to his website of Free Willard. And many of them say they're saved, but they don't act like it and they don't speak like it. They talk about works. What's the difference between us and them? God's grace. That's the only thing separating me from the men in the world who walk this world and who have always walked this world. God's grace. In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, each and every one of us. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The world is dead, folks. It's cursed to be burned up. Until that last one is called, we will continue on. But when that last one is called, when God has called his last child out of darkness, there's no reason for him to continue on. He's going to come back. And he's going to pick up all that's here that belongs to him and take them to heaven. And everything else will burn up in the brightness of his coming. The Lord is calling out his elect, and when the last one is given life, when the last one is called out of this world, our great Savior will return and destroy all it is by the brightness of his being. God the Father gave God the Son a people to praise him and to be with him forever. This is that house he was talking about. I will care for it. Perpetually, unstopping, forever. God the Father gave God the Son a people, but mankind sinned against God. And those who were given to the Son must be made holy. They must be as holy as God is to be in the presence of God. For God is so holy that he cannot even look upon sin. To be as holy as God is, one must have the price for their sin paid for. Scripture declares that the wages of sin is death. But it also declares this: but God. I love that phrase. But God stepped in for me. But God provided Himself my sacrifice where I could not. To be in the presence of God, one must be made holy, sanctified, set apart. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul says that about himself. Just as I was mentioning in Bible study, he says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Paul understands that he is just a man, a sinner saved by grace, just as each and every one of God's people are, just as each and every one of you are. Not saved by anything that you have done, not saved by any action that you may take, not saved by any thoughts that you have, but saved by Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Amen. The world, the very world that you and I were a part of and walked in at one time until the Lord came and set us apart, sanctified us by the blood that was shed on the cross. They worship by committing their works to their imaginary gods. "Well, I got baptized back in 1972 and I've been saved. See, I've been a Christian ever since." I have heard that. And I know some of you have too. "I made a decision to come after Christ and be with Him when I was 2 years old. And I've been a Christian ever since." I know some of you heard that too. These are all things that our Lord sees as works. They were built with the hands of men, with the minds of men. The world worships by committing their works to their imaginary gods. God's people are called out of this kind of worship. We are set apart from what we once were. We are set apart from the world, not by anything that we have done. And this is where the humbleness comes in. I deserve what the world is going to get. I deserve the wrath of God, the burning up of the fiery pit. Yet by His mercy and by His grace, He's taken that for me. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. I must preach this with humbleness because I'm a sinner just as all are. But you must hear this with humbleness also. For none of us deserve what God has given us. None of us deserve the grace and the mercy and the love that God has had for us. Aren't you thankful that just because we don't deserve it doesn't mean He isn't going to love us still? I'm thankful that His will is above mine. We are set apart, sanctified from the worshiping false gods. And we are brought into a living relationship with the true and living God, Jesus Christ the Lord. The more we see our sin, the more we see what we deserve, the greater His mercy is. For me, the easier it is to worship Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory. You see, there's only two types of religion. Feel free to go look, Google it, look them up on Google, whatever. You'll find there are two types of religions. There's the religions that require you to do something, give something, act some way. And then there's a religion of grace. Sovereign grace. God's grace and God's grace alone. Works and grace, they can't mix. Our Lord tells us in Hebrews it's either works or it's grace. It can't be both. You can't add your little bitty thoughts into it. You can't add your little bitty emotions into it. It's either all of Christ or it's not at all. You either earn your salvation by doing something, and that's the way the religions of the world say it, or you are saved by grace, unmerited favor. In Romans 9:16, it says, so then it is not of him that willeth. This is God's word, folks. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, nor of him that works, nor of him that does anything. It's not even your will, your so-called free will. It's God's will. It's his mercy. It's his grace. But of God that showeth mercy. This is the one and only true way to eternal life. Salvation is of the Lord. The mercy of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ the Lord. In Ephesians 2:4 we read, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The sanctification, the setting apart, the calling out is of God and of God alone. We, the church of God, have been called out of the works religions and we've been set apart in this world. Our religion is now the religion of grace. Grace that has been shed abroad in our hearts by he who works with the heart. Our high priest is making intercession for us right this very moment. Are you with me in John chapter 17? Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father. Interesting. God the Son is speaking to God the Father. Can he be denied anything? Our Father looked down on his Son and he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Can he deny anything of his Son? Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as... as thou hast given him, those who have been chosen before the world was, those who were loved before a star ever twinkled in the sky, all that the Father hath given him. Those who were set apart, sanctified by the Spirit, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ is eternal, folks. That's what he's telling him. I had glory before the world was. He wasn't always a man, but he's always been Christ Jesus the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word created everything. And the Word was made flesh. I have manifest thy name, verse 6, unto the men which thou gavest me unto the world, out of the world. Thine, and they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and thou hast received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. How do we believe? By the gift of faith. That's what faith means. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for those, our Lord is telling us. He's speaking to our Father and he's saying, I pray for those that have been called out. Those who have been set apart from the world, sanctified, taken out of, and brought into a living union with Christ himself. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Perpetually. Non-stopping. Forever and forever and forever. Eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. When you have seen yourself as a sinner, and the Lord has brought you to understand that he went to the cross for the sins of his people, does that not bring joy to the hearts of God's people? It's kind of a strange type of joy. We see the trouble and the pain and the sorrowfulness of what we have laid or what has been laid upon our Lord for our sakes. But oh, what joy that he's covered it. He's covered it all. Nothing is left to be done. God looks upon us, his children, and he sees our sins no more. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. They are set apart. We are set apart from the world. We worship the true and living God. We worship in spirit and in truth. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart. Call them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Our great Savior dwells in temples that are made without hands. This temple that we read about in Jerusalem was but a picture of the hearts of God's people. New hearts. Not the old one made of stone, but a new heart, one that trusts, one that believes, one that belongs to Christ Jesus our Lord. He is ours and I am his. That's what he says. We belong to Christ. We were bought by the shedding of his blood. If we belong to Christ, then we have been set apart from this world. Unlike the world, we now believe the truths. Not part of, not a portion of, not a little bitty scripture over here and some over here to fit whatever we desire, whatever we want to tickle our ears with. I got to tell you, folks, in the book of Isaiah we've been studying, God declares some pretty ugly things. David, in this morning study, David went out and slaughtered two entire towns. And we're not talking about men being slaughtered. We're talking about women, children, old people. And then he took everything they had. That's not pretty stuff. But that's not what you hear about from most pulpits today. You hear about Jesus loves everybody if you just let him love you. That's not the God of Scriptures. The God of Scriptures rules everything, including death. 9/11 was not an accident. This man who just slaughtered these people in the mosque over here, that was not an accident. There are no accidents. Our God rules, or he's not God at all. If we belong to Christ and we have been set apart from this world, we believe his truths, all of his truths. Verse 18 of chapter 17. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We have to continue, folks. We have to keep fighting the good fight. What is that? Look to Christ. Don't ever look to your faith, Daryl. Looking to your faith would be a big mistake. Your faith is going to be weak in days. Look to Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. He'll give us the faith we need. Even when it's just as small as a mustard seed, he says in Scripture, it's faith given by God. Perfect. Exactly what we need. Look to Christ. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We need to continue on in life because there's still those that God has loved from before the world was. The end of time has not yet come. There's still one more somewhere out there to be called by God out of the darkness that they walked in. We have no idea who it is. We don't argue the truth, as Brother Mike said this morning. We proclaim it. That's all we can do. Proclaim that Christ is God Almighty. The blood that he shed on the cross is enough. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I gave given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. If you have been set apart from the world, then Christ has moved into the heart. Weddings. What happens when two men and women get married according to Scriptures? They're joined as one, are they not? How often do we read in Scriptures the bridegroom and the bride? We are joined as one with our Savior. When he says, I know you, he knows us intimately. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can we wrap our heads around that? God has loved us as he has loved his own Son. So much so that he gave his Son to be our sacrifice. To shed his blood, that God the Son would go and die, be crucified for our sakes, We can't even comprehend the depth of that love. But a day is coming when we will, when all things will be revealed. Right now we have this little inkling picture. We look through a glass darkly and see the things that Christ has for his people, the love that we have for each other. Marriage. These kinds of things we see and we can relate just a little bit of what our Lord is saying in his word. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the love that God has for his people. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, even when we walked in darkness, shaking our fist at our Lord, saying, I will not have this one rule over me, he said, you are mine. Our Lord describes that previous life of ours as a baby who was born and then left in the field in its own blood and dirt and mud. And yet the Lord walks by and sees that child and says, live. That's what he does to each and every one of his people. Those that he has loved from before the foundation of the world. He sets them apart from the rest of the world. He sanctifies them, makes them holy because they can't do it themselves, so that they can be in his presence forever. We are set apart from the world by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon that cross just over 2,000 years ago. What perfect, wonderful, loving blood it was. Do you see the love that God has for you? Not for everybody. Not for all the world. But for all of those whom the Father hath given him before the world was. Will you stand with me, please, and turn in your hymn?